Blog Talk Radio.
New Beginnings Ministry. We are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. And for those of you that tune in by phone or by internet, we do thank you for tuning in and being a part of this. With the, of course, you know, we have our regular scheduled speaker, Pastor Dawn Mixon from out of Long Island, New York, and you will hear from her shortly. But before that, we'd like to inform you that we are an interactive Bible study. And what does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity of calling in and participating when she opens up the mic. Amen. We do thank you for that. Also, while you are listening, please make sure that you mute your phones or whatever you're using to tune in, because we can hear everything in the background and it becomes a distraction to the speaker as well as to the hearers, and we do appreciate that. For those of you who are listening by internet, if you would like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Call in and you can participate on this radio blog talk. Amen. Also, you can archive any message that we have produced. You can, if you have friends that you would like to share this with, this message this evening, you can go into Blog Talk Radio, and then you would type in "We Can Begin Again," and you can get into the archive. So please do that. Amen. We are the body of Christ, and we are here to be a blessing to others. And again, once again, we do thank you for tuning in. Right now, we're going to move over into Long Island, New York, with Pastor Mixon. Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Yes, God bless you, Elder Clay. So glad to be with you again on third Wednesday in the month of November. We are here the day before Thanksgiving as we give thanks through this season. And I want us to realize Thanksgiving is not the only day that we can be thankful, but we have so much to thank God for. And so Amen. I am grateful to God to be able to see another day, another year. As this year is swiftly coming to a close, I am grateful. Every year, it seems as if people say we are going into this year and we're going to have a year better than the last year. And, you know, we have so many things. I have to say this has been an awesome year. And I believe that God is going to bless us. And I'm thankful for what God has done. I thank him for the good and I thank him for the bad. And so when we start thanking him for the good and thanking him for the bad, because the bad helps us learn how to stay yes. in the good. And it is a blessing, because whenever we go through something that may be trying or difficult, we are overcomers through our testimony. I shared with our church not too long ago, it's a process. And one thing we've learned about a process is a series of events. It's not just one situation or one particular thing. It's a series of events. And when I realize that I'm going to have to go through a series of events to get to the expected end of what my destiny is, then I sit back and I kind of ride with what all the things that I have to go through, because I realize that whatever I go through, whether it is a trying situation or a trial, it's there to make me stronger to get through the process. And so when we look at that, we have to be thankful. If you are on the line, please call somebody. Share this number with somebody. Let them know that Pastor Mixon is on the line and we are looking to hear a word from the Lord. We are going to the Gospel of Luke. And since there is no new Bible, there must be fresh revelation from God. And I may have shared this with you. We were going to go somewhere else tonight, but because of the time and because we are in a place of thanksgiving, I wanted to share so much that we need to be thankful for. So we want to go into a word of prayer before we go into this particular text. We're going to be in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Our Father and our God, we thank you for being such an awesome God. God, you yes. have been better to us than we've been to ourselves. God, we are undeserving, but we thank you for making us worthy. We thank you, O God, for yes. giving us a map to glean by and so that we know that, God, whatever you've given us, you have not left us alone. And you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And, God, we're ever so grateful that you have never left us alone. Even when we feel that we're by ourselves, God, you've been carrying us the whole time, and we're thankful for that. We ask that, God, as we go forth in the word on today, we pray, oh, God, that somebody would hear something that will be life-changing for them, that will alter their situation or alter their pathway, that they don't know that, God, you are the one that has designed and orchestrated their lives, and that they will understand that whatever they do, it's in your hands. And so we give your name the glory, and we give your name the honor.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
In Jesus' name.
All right. We are going to Luke 17, and we will be reading verses 11 through 19, nine verses here, and then we're going to get into this particular text. The word of the Lord said, I'll be reading out of the King James on tonight. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. I'm going to say that again. Mm. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. All right. We are going to be using for a subject on tonight. I'm thankful he came through. I'm thankful he came through. You want a subject topic? I would share with you on tonight, where are the 9? Where are the 9? All right.
Mm.
Let's look at this particular topic. As I said, it's familiar. As I shared earlier, there's a lot for us to be thankful for, even though a lot of times we don't realize it, sometimes until we see someone else who's worse off than us. Then we turn and we start realizing how much we really have when we see someone who is going through a greater trial or who has less than what we have. It was, I believe, the Hawkins family who wrote the song Be Grateful, because there's someone else who is worse off than you.
Mm-hmm.
In our society, we always are looking for more. It's as if a lot of people in our society never have enough, and even when they have a lot, they are always looking for more. You can go by your job. You know, it seems nowadays that if you're working for corporate or any job that you may have, big companies and even some little companies, but they're asking for more but giving less. And not only that, are they asking for more and giving less, but they're not even grateful. Some of them are not grateful or thankful for what you do. And so, you know, we're living in a society where, you know, it's gimme, gimme, gimme. And, you know, a lot of times when people are not thankful for what you do, because a lot of times people feel as if you need them. And because you need me, then they feel that they have something over you. But when you are a child of God, let me just change this for you so you can have an understanding. When you are a child of God, you have an understanding that even though I work for you, you are mm-hmm. not the supplier of my needs. Because let's look at God uses a company to supply your needs, but God also supplies the need to the company. When it is no longer supplied for the company, the one thing I love about God is that even though the company may be out of supply, but because I am a child of God, he gives seed to the sower. I heard the scripture say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And so we may not have what we want all the time, but God makes sure that we have what we need. So I love this particular text because there's so many things that I see in this text that we may not understand. Okay, you have 10 men or 10 men who are in a colony. There are leopards who are in a colony. Why? Because of their disease, because of their situation, they have to be isolated amongst people who are just like them. Not only that, but they have to deal or have to have the same issue or the same disease just like them. And so therefore, they are outside of the public. They are outside of the city, and they are isolated in the area because they are considered to be so they are unable to to interact with the public. So if that is the case, then you have these same people. You have at least 10 of them that they're talking about that are in this particular place. And imagine every day you're looking at somebody that has the same issue as you. Every time you look at the individuals that are around you, it's a reminder of where you are. Every mm-hmm. time you see an individual, it's a reminder of the setback. Now, the Bible doesn't let us know how they ended up with this disease or issue. What it does tell you is that they are in a place where they're in need of help. They are in a place mm-hmm. where they need deliverance. They're in a place where they are around people, not necessarily that they want to be around, but they have no choice but being around. And watch this. Even though they are in Samaria, you have to also realize there are different people who are in this particular campground who are together. I don't think people understand unless they're going through the situation themselves. If you find out there are people who may be on this line, some people don't understand the situation of cancer or may not understand the situation of HIV, and they may not understand all of those different things until they're faced with it themselves. And you'll find many people who are going through that situation or different situations in life that they've never gone through before. After they've been freed or delivered or they're in this situation, they then become advocates because I have an idea. I know what I'm talking about. A lot of times I can't talk about cancer because I haven't had cancer. But somebody who has cancer can give you the ins and outs, what they go through, what's in a person's mindset, what they're dealing with, how they have to get through treatment, all of those different things. And so they can be an advocate. Why? Because they are knowledgeable of what the situation is. Now, I can push them. I can help endorse them. but I may not be a great advocate for it because I don't fully understand what they've gone through. So I'm looking at these 10 men who are lepers, who are isolated, who are looking at one another, facing the same thing, each one understanding what the other one's going through, but at the drop of a hat, if they could alter and change it, they would do that at that moment. And so a lot of times we don't realize how grateful we should be until we see somebody else who has been isolated. The very little things that we do every day, we take for granted. You don't feel like going to the grocery store. As I went out today just doing some shopping, there were so many people out there. You got to deal with the traffic. It aggravates. It annoys people. You got to deal with all the people who are in the store. It's annoying and it's aggravating because you're in a timeline or time frame where you want situations done. And then when you just finish work, you know, your mindset is like, okay, this is the last thing I want to do. But when you're in a situation where you're isolated, you're dealing with people who are dealing with the same frustrations that you're dealing with, if you could just get out, to be able to drive in traffic would be something wonderful for them. To be able to go to the store is something wonderful to them. Until you have been homebound, you've been isolated, you're unable to get to the different things. So the things that annoy us would be joys to others because they have not been able to do our everyday thing. So I'm looking at these 10 men, dealing with them, and I'm trying to get an understanding of their cry. So the Bible says that Jesus decides to pass through the midst of Samaria. In other words, he takes a long way around to get to where he has to go, and it's not even an area he would normally go into. But the Bible says that when these 10 men saw Jesus enter the village, the 10 men stood afar off. Now, let's see. They saw him coming, but they saw him afar off. The reason why they saw him afar off is because they were unable to interact with one another. They were with anybody outside of the colony. Why? Because they were considered contagious. They were not able to touch one another. So the Bible says that, watch this, they lifted up their voices. Okay? So it wasn't one person speaking. They all spoke. Watch this, because the news of Jesus or seeing Jesus afar off, it's amazing that even though I may not be in the public, I still can know what's going on in the public. Y'all didn't catch that. That's a powerful statement. Even though I'm not around, I'm isolated. It's something how a word can travel even when you can't. My God, that's good. Mm-hmm. Words can travel even when you can't. Watch this. And they see Jesus afar off, and they call him and say, Master, have mercy on us. Watch this. Listen, we done heard you do miracles. We are all in the same need. Watch this. We all got the same issues. We've all been isolated. We all have to deal with the frustrations of this particular disease. But I see a miracle afar off. I see a miracle worker afar off. And because all of them are asking for the same thing or in need of the same thing, watch this, they all lifted up their voices because all of them saw help afar off. Let me share with y'all tonight. Listen, anytime you see a help far off, and I've shared this over and over again, whenever I come on the third Wednesday, I share this over and over again. When you are in need of help, what the Bible says, they lifted up their voices. They didn't whisper. In other words, their voices had value. They lifted up their voices and called out for mercy. And when he saw them, watch this, it's one thing when you see Jesus, but it's another thing when Jesus sees you. He said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. This is a powerful statement because now what Jesus is asking them to do is for them to move in faith. What do you mean? They're not allowed to leave where they are. They're not allowed to go anywhere because where they are isolated. In order for them to go to where the priest is, that means they have to enter into public. Watch this. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as they went. Okay, let's stop right here. That means they made some movement off of the word Jesus said. They said to Jesus, have mercy on us. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. What you must understand, it was the priest who could only declare that you, if you were a leper, it was the priest's job to show or declare or to be able to certify that you have been cleansed. Watch this. And the Bible says, and as they went, as they went, they were cleansed. Watch this. A lot of times, the reason why a lot of us, things does not alter or change is because we have not made movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we did not ask God for mercy. It is not that we did not ask God for help. The problem is, when he answered us back, we didn't move.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't move, what we do is, the Bible says, comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. First of all, they heard him tell them to go show themselves in sleep. But faith is an action. You can't just hear it without movement, because now I have to believe what I heard. So if I heard him say, go show myself to the priest, then that means I need to go. That go is an action word. That means I'm making movement. So go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, watch this, they were cleansed. They were, as they were moving, things started to be healed. Things started healing up as they moved. Can you believe, that's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing. I was one moment before I spoke to Jesus, asked him for help, while in the next moment, I'm moving into a healing, and watch this, things are starting to dry up. Things are starting to heal. Let me tell you something. It's something about in the movement, because in the movement, that's where things change. In the movement, that is when things are altered, when you make those moves. And the problem with a lot of us, it's not that we haven't heard from God. It's not that God hasn't spoken to us. It's not because we haven't asked God for a thing. It's because we didn't make the movement, and we expect change without movement. Oh, my God. I heard you. Now my faith has got to be moved by action. All right. The Bible says, verse 15, that when one of them, when he saw he was healed, he turned back. Because some things, even though the priest needs to declare or needs to be the one to certify that you cleansed, but when I looked at me, I knew I was cleansed. And watch this. And with a loud voice, he started glorifying God. See, a lot of folks want to praise God when it comes to the complete end. But this man said, oh, no, no, no. This is happening right now. Watch this. His voice, let me tell you something. Your voice ought to be louder as you realize that you're in that miracle. That's when your voice ought to be louder. Because now, I know I've asked you for your mercy, and I've asked you for your help, but when I see it, my God, when I see help happening right now, I can't help but go crazy. Watch this, because I've been in this colony for so many years. I've been dealing with the frustration of looking at a mirror image of myself day after day after day. I have been looking, and I have been frustrated. And when you realize that you are this close to freedom, you got to learn how to glorify God. I've never seen a generation like this, before, because miracles, they feel like, and I shared this with our church, they feel like they're expected, and then you don't have to glorify God. They act like they're not somewhat surprised that God has done this. And I understand not being surprised because that's what you asked for. But if that's what you asked for and God blesses you with it, why are we so quiet? See, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus greater than I lift up my situation or my issue. Because watch this. When they all dealt with the issue, they all lifted up their voices. But when the one realized that he was healed, the Bible says, with a loud voice. Okay? So I'm going to lift up my God who healed me louder than I lift up my issue. And a lot of times, even with testimony service, we talk about all the things that we're going through, but we don't realize we give that situation or that issue more credit than we can give God. Know this, that I'm believing God even while I'm going through my situation, while I'm going through the process, watch this, I realize that God is going to deliver and heal me, all right? So I'm not going to wait till the battle is over. Again, thank you, the Hawkins family. I'm going to shout now because I know in the end that I'm going to win. So my dance, my voice is lifted up, glorifying God while I'm in the process of my healing. The Bible says, verse 16, this is the powerful verse to me. The Bible says, and fell down on his face. Watch this, at his feet, giving him thanks. I'm going to stop right there. Now, I need you to understand something right here. In verse 16, it says, and he fell down on his face, wait a minute, at his feet. But verse 12 says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood, wait a minute, afar off. Wait a minute. First of all, I was afar off. Now I'm at his feet on my face. Yo, oh my God. Listen, There are issues that have kept you afar off from God. But after the issues are over and I met with God, I heard from God, what kept you from God is the same thing when God sees you and hears you and speaks to you will be the same thing that will put you at his feet. Watch this. Everybody talks about your issues. Everybody talks about what you've been through. Everybody talks about all the struggles that you're going through. But all of those struggles and all those things that you go through are going to bring you at the feet of Jesus. Because before his issue, he could only talk to him afar off. But after that was over and the healing process took place, the Bible said he is at the feet of Jesus, prostrate before him. Watch this, giving him thanks. Giving him thanks. Jesus says, and he answers, were there not 10 cleansed? Let me explain something to you. Everybody is not always as thankful. See, some of them, I'm sure they were all surprised by their healing. But Jesus was wondering, a lot of times we have to think about it. How often do we tell God thank you? How often have you away? And see, we've got to realize, I don't care if it happened 20 years ago, there should still be a thank you in your heart because what should have killed you, you survived. Because why? Because God allowed you to, and he realized that there is more purpose. So watch this. Jesus had the question. There were nine. There were 10, but there's only 9 here that have not said to God, thank you. There is only one that was grateful enough to come back and tell you thank you. Now watch this. There's a difference because even though you've been healed, this man got a different blessing than those who just left and didn't tell God thank you. Let's think about it. The number 10 is a part of the whole number system, y'all. So
mm-hmm.
nothing needs to be added or nothing needs to be taken away from it. The number 10 is whole within itself. All right? So Jesus says to him, there are not found that return to give glory to God except a stranger. Watch this. This is another powerful verse in this text. He says in verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, here we go again, go thy way. Watch this, because thy faith hath made thee whole. Okay, the number mm-hmm. 10. Number 10. Number 10 is a part of the whole number system. There's nothing that needs to be added. Nothing needs to be taken away. It's whole within himself. The Bible says that when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, glorified God. Watch this. Verse mm-hmm. 19 says, Jesus said unto him, arise, go thy way. Watch this. Your faith has made thee whole. Let me explain something to y'all. There's a difference between healing and being whole.
Mm.
The rest of them were healed. And when you're healed, the process of healing is if something happens, if you scar yourself, if you have any kind of thing that may have hurt you and you have a scar from it, even though you've been healed, people can still see the scars from your wound. Mm-hmm. But when you've been made whole, the word whole means to be brought back to the former state before anything ever happens. That's why there are some folks who can talk about their healing, and yes, they are healed, but I can still see the evidence of what you've been through. But when you've been made whole, I don't look like what I've been through because I've been made whole. I can talk about it.
No, wow.
But you can't see the evidence of what I've been through. And the reason why you can't see the evidence is because I've been thankful for what God gave me. I'm thankful for what he's blessed me with. I'm thankful that I may have gone through the same thing that other people went through, but you can't see the evidence of what I've been through while you see the evidence of others. That's why I realize that there's so much in being thankful to God, because when I'm thankful, he gives me extra. He gives me extra that other folks didn't. Listen, some people are grateful for their healing, and they can handle that, and that's wonderful. They have to go ahead and talk. I always got to talk about what I've been through when you see my scars. People always have to ask questions about my scars. But when I've been made whole, I can sit down and tell you the story of what I went through, and it would not be evident to you. And you would be in disbelief because I went through the same thing somebody else went through, but you can't see the evidence of what I've been through. I got to sit down and tell you how good God has been. And if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. It's not just being whole. It's something about being whole. And so this man is something about gratitude. Jesus realizes, listen, there's nine others that were not thankful. And I've said this before. There are a lot of people who, he said, except this stranger. Hold on, wait a minute. You're not even a part of those who I came back for. You're considered to be a Gentile. We don't really have no dealings, but you had enough common sense to come back and tell me thank you. Whereas there are people that I know that I came here for, my own family, the people that you work with, the people that you feed every day, the people that have keys to your house, that put their feet on your table and put their feet on your ottomans and different things like that, they forget to tell you thank you. But God said, no. He said, except for this stranger. He said, because of thy faith, because of your faith, I'm going to give you extra that everybody else didn't get. And so I'm grateful that God came through. God came through. And I come to let all of you know on today, for those who may be going through a process in their life, God is coming through. Watch this. He altered his destination just to come through a certain part that he didn't have to come through, just to see you. So while you're going through your process, and when you see Jesus coming through, when that window of opportunity opens up, don't forget to tell God thank you. Why? Because there's something else that's on the other side of the healing. There's wholeness. I'm going to open up the all the lines, and some of y'all can share something if the word came to you in some way, if something else you see in this, some revelated word that you may see in this that might help somebody who else is on the line. I want you to understand that God is getting ready to come through, and he's getting ready to come through like never before. I'm just telling you, miracles are happening at our church, stuff that ain't supposed to happen. God is going against all the stuff that the doctors are saying, and I'm believing God for every last one of those who are in our church and those who may be on the line, those who that you may know that may be going through some things. We are looking far beyond healing. We are looking for the wholeness of God to come over the lives of people. So if you got a testimony, if you got something that you can share that will open up the eyes of people who are on this line today, or that somebody can come back and glean on this particular message and say, listen, this was a part of my life. I can talk about it. I can tell you about it. I'm an advocate for this particular word because I know what God can do. The lines are open. Anybody that wants to share on tonight, please be so kind to share with us tonight. Amen.
Amen.
You can open up your phones. Open up your phones. Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right. That means that gives me to go ahead to keep on going. Notice that the process that you go through in life, process comes, and when it comes, that we've got to realize that those process, the things that I go through. Now, I can imagine that these lepers had to go through some difficult times, and we are in a season, can I say this? We are in a season where people are dealing with some hard things. They're going through some difficult things in life. And I find, Elder Clay, that when people are, especially in this season, they are either very joyful or they are in a place of depression. They're in a place of a dark place because they start thinking about what they've lost. They think about who they lost and not realizing that we still got to live. We still got to live through all of these things. I need us to understand the Bible lets us know we are going to live. And and when we do live, there are those who are going to die. We are going to die. And that's something folks don't want to hear. But the problem is not death. The problem is how you die. Why do I say that? Because when you die in God, it's something totally different when from a person who doesn't die in God. So, you know, that's why we celebrate their life. And I say that because a lot of times we think, okay, well, we didn't get healed in this process. I told them, my mentor, Dr. James B. Sutterman, said something to me last week. He said, I'm going to keep living until God says don't. Because I realize that I'm in the hands of God. And when he tells me don't, I need to make sure that whatever I leave here, I left here a legacy. I left here something that somebody can look back over the years and say, okay, I can still use this for today. But when we don't listen and when we don't take heed to the word of God, God gives us, he gives us so many opportunities that we sleep on a lot of times. And we don't realize that
Yes.
He's giving us opportunity. Again, every time we make a mistake, he gives us another opportunity to get it right. And so until we realize that God has already ordained our steps, and when we realize that we're going to go through a process, I shared with them on last Sunday that Joseph went through a process. He went through a series of events before he got into the palace. The problem is we want to get from point A to point B with no issues in between. As I've shared with you, if I go from point A and point B, there's one problem. The problem is I've got to remember where I came from, number one, and number two, I need to remember how I got there. Why?
Amen.
Because through point A to point B, I realize that all those things that have taken place in my life, for every pitfall, for every time that from him going from a plot to a pit to slavery to jail, all of those things were leading him up to. And when you look at it, nothing that happened from the time of a dream. He had a dream. And people tried to assassinate him because of a dream. Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was family. It wasn't outsiders. It was family. Watch this. And because of that, he had to go through the process, but he ended up being one of the greatest leaders. The king said, Pharaoh said to him, once he interprets Pharaoh's dream, he says, I will only be greater than you in title only. Only my name will be greater, only because I have the title of king. He said, but you are the one that shall be great. And let me share this with you, and I'm saying this because there's somebody who is on the line or somebody who is going to glean back to this particular sermon and this time and realize that there are the things that they've gone through in the process of life. You went through it because God wanted you to be greater. Stop getting upset and angry because it seems like it's taking too long. And I realize a lot of times that we're so busy complaining about the length of our trial. We don't realize that God will allow the promise of the dream or the vision or the blessing of your life to be even longer than the trial. Why? Because he's not going to give you a blessing that he's not going to promise you something that you're not going to live through, that you won't be able to have. But you cannot assassinate your own character, and you cannot give up in the process. And because a lot of times we think it's everybody else, but sometimes we block our own blessings. We block our own blessings because we're not grateful. So I have to look at it and say, God, where, and I can look at many times in my life where I was unthankful for a thing and didn't appreciate it. I just went on, ignored the fact that, oh, wait a minute, you didn't say thank you. And that's the one thing that parents, good parents, teach their children in the beginning.
Talk.
After you learn, mommy and daddy, when somebody gives you something, the first thing your mother would say thank you. And they want, and now, you know, when I was growing up, my mother wouldn't allow me to receive what I was being given until I said thank you. As soon as I reached for it but didn't say thank you, mommy said, hold up, what you say? What you supposed to say? And watch this. I didn't receive it until I said thank you. Why? Because I've got to realize that people don't have to be kind. And when they are kind, they don't have to be kind to you. So we learn in the early stages. Most people learn in the early stages how to be thankful. Why? Because we know not only is it the polite thing to do or polite thing to say, but it opens doors for you
to have more things to be thankful for. See,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times we shut off or cut off our blessings because we are not thankful for what we have. You know, it gets folk upset. You know, a lot of times you'll give something to somebody, and when they don't say thank you, it seems ungrateful. You'll find out people say, uh-uh, that's the last time I'm doing that. I'm not giving them a – they're not even thankful for what I gave them. And, you know, thank you goes a long way. Sometimes thank you is better than money for some people because they just want to show – you know, they just want to see the gratitude that you have. Why? Oh, listen, I can do that again because you seem so thankful. You are so grateful for what was done for you. And that opens a lot of doors. It opens many doors when you are thankful, not only in that area, but God will open doors of opportunity for you. Things that are not supposed to happen ends up happening for you because you're grateful. It's something about that word gratefulness and thankfulness that goes a long way, people of God. So, I mean, I hope on tonight that we share something with you, you know, for those. You know, there are times that even in my sleep, I'm thanking God. I find myself up, waking myself up out of my sleep, telling God thank you. Because my spirit is grateful. And I may not have what others think are the best things in the world, but what I have, I tell you, there's some things that money can't buy. God has blessed me with great health. I don't have to worry about different things in life that other people go through. I may not be a millionaire, but I know that there are millionaires who will be grateful for the health that I have.
Yes.
And while we're so busy trying to be millionaires, there are millionaires who are dealing with issues and their sicknesses that they can't change. And the only thing that can change it is God. Because there is no remedy.
Mm-hmm.
There's no medication that they can take. And while we're so busy saying, oh, if I had this, I had that, it would make a difference if you're not in good health. The Bible lets us know. He wants us to be in good health. Why? Because if I'm in good health, then I can do the work of the Lord. Not only that, but I can live my life. He wants us to prosper and be in good health. Because it's not enough to just be in good health and be broke. And it's not enough to be prosperous and not in good health. They walk hand in hand. He wants you to be both. And so I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to God that I have a roof over my head. I have food on my table. And there are so many out there that don't. And so if you know that there's a family in need that may need help or just maybe in need of food, you'll be surprised how many people will be thankful just for what you have, just for what you have. You say, oh, I don't have much. We ain't really doing that much for Thanksgiving. We're not. But somebody will be grateful for your oodles and noodles because they don't even have that. So please, please spread this love, spread the gratefulness and thankfulness, you know, to others. When you can be out there to help anybody who's in need. And it does not have to just be Thanksgiving and Christmas, everybody. But whenever you feed the poor, know that you and you clothe the naked, you are doing that as you're doing that as if you're doing it for Jesus. And so don't one little thing, it could be just giving somebody a coat, giving all those clothes that you've given away because you can't fit them no more. You'll be surprised. You'll find somebody that says, okay, I'm so grateful for that because I needed a whole new wardrobe or I needed this. Look and seek out people that you can be a blessing to in this time. And not just, as I said, in this season, but every day of your life. Find somebody.
Yes.
Make it your mission to find somebody to bless every day of your life. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to turn it over to Elder Clay, and I'm going to ask him if he would give us last words and dismiss us on today. I want to say, happy Thanksgiving to everybody, and I pray that you enjoy your families. I pray that you get together whatever animosity you may have with this one or that one. Make it right. Life is too short. Be a blessing to one another. Love on one another because you don't know the day nor the hour when the Lord Jesus is going to come. So please, please
man, please, sir, please, love on one another. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. What a word, what a word as we move into our Thanksgiving. And I can say that I'm thankful that he came through. Amen, aren't you? We thank you, Pastor Mixon, for that word and reminding us that we should be thankful in all things. It, I believe Paul said, be content in all things. We should be thankful in all things. And we do thank you for reminding us that we should be thankful not only just for the good, but as well as those things that go wrong. So we do thank you. And I am thankful that he came through. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray, Father, Lord, that the words that we heard, Heavenly Father, that we would apply it to our hearts, Heavenly Father, as we move along. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for health. We thank you for strength. We thank you for families. We thank you for the gift of love. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you've done, and we give you thanks for what you're going to do. And as we close, we'd like to say, hey, happy Thanksgiving. May God bless you. We love you. Remember, God loves you most. Amen.
Amen. God bless.
I can be.